Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's talk about what might be the most anticipated council meeting in the history of Wellington. Councillors today sat down to approve the city's controversial district plan, which has made headlines over the past month. Councillors voted to reject many of the recommendations made by an independent panel and instead voted to increase housing density, reduce heritage protection, and increase the amount of housing near rail lines. One person who sat through hours and hours and hours of these meetings and read just a ludicrous amount of papers on the pros and cons of all of this is the Spin-Off's Joel McManus. And Joel's on the line from Wellington now. Kia ora.
Kia ora, how are you?
I am just great. Joel, tell me, what's Wellington like tonight? Are the urbanists out in the streets partying like it's 1999?
I mean, you're not wrong. Within two specific pubs, there are big crowds of urbanists having some pints and celebrating. Because this is a huge win. For people who care about apartments and townhouses and density, the kind of people who are invested in cities and the future of cities in New Zealand, this is possibly the biggest moment in the history of, well, definitely Wellington, possibly in this country.
Joel, take us back. Give us some background for people who aren't intimately acquainted with the broader themes here. What was actually happening today?
Right, okay, long story. Over time, in general, New Zealand has traditionally built its cities at a very low density. We're talking houses with big sections. We've never been a place that built a lot of apartments, that sort of thing. Auckland changed its plan in 2016, where there's been a lot of townhouses in Auckland since then. Over time, the government changed some of the rules to sort of almost force councils to build more apartments near the centre city and in townhouses. And in Wellington, this has been a multi-year process. We had the spatial plan and then this draft plan and then months of hearings with this independent hearings panel. And it's all came down to today's meeting. It was about 6 hours today where councillors had to make this final decision about where houses would be allowed, what the height limits would be, where houses wouldn't be allowed, literally all of the rules that define the shape of the city.
Okay. And so, I mean, inferring from, you know, the fact that the urbanists are out partying, it's been good news for them. What exactly happened that would be good news for people who like more housing density, who want less heritage protection and so on?
Right. So there were quite a lot of, you know, amendments over the course of the day, like lots of different things. But some of the big ones was character areas. So right now in Wellington, 88% of all inner city residential suburbs, residential land, is covered by a character protection. So any house built before 1930 is almost impossible to tear down and turn into an apartment or a townhouse. Those have been massively shrunk from 306 hectares to 85 hectares. We basically just saw upzoning across the city, this walking catchment. So anywhere within walking distance of the centre city, you're allowed to build a six-storey apartment. That's been expanded, so it now covers all of Newtown. And the third really big one was the Johnsonville train line. So the Johnsonville train line wasn't defined as rapid transit before, right. And that's quite important because anywhere that's rapid transit, you have to allow apartments within a walking distance of the train station because that's a really good place to build apartments so people can walk to the train. So by changing that definition to make that rapid transit, they've allowed a lot more apartments and townhouses everywhere along that train line.
So, Joel, look, about 5 weeks ago on Nights, we did an interview about housing in Wellington and this expert panel, which had produced a report, and that report had essentially recommended expanding character protection areas. So is the approval of today's district plan essentially rejecting some of the recommendations within that report, that expert made by that expert panel?
It's a massive rejection of this expert panel. So the independent hearing panel
They were hired to, you know, hear all the submissions. They rejected a bunch of the stuff that the council had already proposed, and that was super controversial. Actually, in my view, the panel went so far in the other direction in terms of rejecting housing that they actually prompted a backlash. If they'd been a little bit more mild, it might have kind of all sailed through, but they went so far that all these progressive left, Labour, Green councillors were like, whoa, this is so far. And it actually gave them a lot of room to push back because it kind of seemed so absurd. And that meant that, you know, they got to really reduce the character areas, really upzone kind of across the entire city.
That's an interesting observation. Right. So if the big winners from today are urbanists, people who want more housing density in Wellington, who are the losers?
Well, the losers, I guess you would say, are some of the heritage activists, some of the people in certain communities who really want their community to stay small. There are some people that genuinely really value their neighbourhood, their suburb being a quiet, leafy suburb. They don't want it to be busy, and they're totally within their right to want that. That's a totally fine thing. And, you know, a lot of these changes will mean that, you know, not that they're forced to demolish their house or anything, but that's, you know, someone, one of their neighbours will be allowed to build a townhouse there. So, you know, if you're someone who really, really doesn't want high-density housing next to you, yeah, you could call that a loss. But at the same time, the fact that your land is now able to build multi-storey apartments has probably made your land a lot more valuable. So there's a win there too.
That's interesting because, I mean, you in your work for the spin-off, you write analysis pieces sometimes, and in those pieces I get the impression sometimes that you personally are in favour of more housing density. But do you understand you were kind of alluding to this there. The people who are against it are not all necessarily grumpy, NIMBY people who just want the world to stay the way it is. You empathise with some of the motivations behind opposing some of these changes?
No, I think not empathising is not understanding the situation, right? And in fact, I think a lot of people dial this down too simplistically to being like, oh, people want to protect their, you know, if they're homeowners, they want to protect their lot in life and they don't want more homes. Actually, that really actually isn't true. A lot of the time, upzoning makes your house more valuable because your land becomes more valuable. So it actually is oftentimes a really emotional, sentimental thing. And that's a hard thing to argue. People have really important, really fundamental feelings about the place that they live. And that's like incredibly reasonable.
It's interesting politically, isn't it? This is not... I guess this kind of gets into the desire to paint issues as black or white, you know, binary things. And this is not that in any way, shape or form. There are indeed some people who you might describe. Well, what the council did today has united people of different political stripes, it's fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, in my own words, I've described this as what I termed the old town and the new city. I don't think this is a left and right issue. This is an issue about two and completely different visions for Wellington, and in fact for all cities in New Zealand and the Western world, really. We have these two factions between people who sort of grew up in Wellington at the time when it was a large provincial town. They liked it for what it was. And they value that, and they're totally within their rights to value that. And then we have the new city, which is this sort of new generation of young people who see this kind of ambitious vision. They want Wellington to be like Melbourne, Amsterdam, you know, London, you know, however big you want to see it. And they're not actually left-right things. In fact, there's left and right on both sides. The old town does have a lot of sort of these conservatives who want to keep it how it is, but there's a left-wing faction there too who see the sort of conservation, let's not, you know, build a bunch of new concrete structures. You know, they don't want that change. And you know, the new city, as I put it, the sort of new generation, yeah, there's a lot of left-wing, there's a lot of progressives there, and they want tram lines and bike lanes and apartments. But there's also the right there too, because, like, a lot of that point is deregulation, right? Mm. When you remove regulations, you allow developers to build more houses, more apartments. So it's actually a really interesting political divide, and it doesn't fit within our traditional bounds.
I mean, people do like character and, you know, old-time styles of buildings as well. Excuse me. As well, don't they? And, you know, I guess one of the arguments from the opposing side to urbanism is, you know, these people, they would have knocked down the Leaning Tower of Pisa to build an apartment block if they could. It's not like all buildings built before a certain arbitrary date are getting knocked down and being replaced by student hostel accommodation.
Well, again, yeah, there's a difference in heritage and character. So heritage buildings are specific buildings which have been identified as having special value. Mm-hmm. Character is actually a much broader definition and can apply across entire suburbs, entire streets. And in Wellington, that's sort of the entire inner city, really, because those are all the inner suburbs which were the first suburbs to be built. They were the closest place to the city when the city was expanding. So a lot of the houses there are really old. So they're considered having character. And so this protection has been actually kind of applied across the entire suburb, which makes it, you know, it's kind of an absurd situation because these are the closest places to the city. They're the best places to build. They're the best places to have more people living. But they're also the oldest places. So we've ended up in a situation where there's less homes there and less building happening there because they're old. Mm-hmm. So it's about kind of fixing that balance. And it's going to be an ongoing debate, obviously, but what's happened today is they shrank that from 360 hectares to 85 hectares, and they've just kind of retained the streets that have, like, the best, you know, the best heritage, the best, you know, the most original old homes that have not been touched rather than sort of mixes of old and new and random houses.
The top shelf, I understand. All right, so this is not actually a done thing yet. Housing Minister Chris Bishop still needs to approve the changes in the plan. Two-part question. Do we know how likely that is? And if indeed it is approved, any timeline on when we might expect things to start happening?
To your first point, he's definitely signalled that he wants a lot more development. He wants a lot more upzoning. So, you know, we don't know for sure, but he's definitely kind of pitched his flag and suggested he will approve the council amendments. We'll see where that goes. There's 25 different amendments. So, you know, whether he approves every single one, we're not sure. But he's definitely kind of suggested one way or the other. As for when we start seeing change, this will become operational sort of once the minister's signed off. Obviously, this is a long-term thing. This just allows apartments. It doesn't mean apartments will pop up out of nowhere. You know, the next step is getting the developers on board, making sure the city's doing the right things for builders and all of that sort of stuff, which is a much longer, much bigger project.
Oh, I thought apartments grew on the apartment tree, Joel.
Yeah, it turns out people need to build them.
Are you sick of council meetings yet, by the way?
Oh, mate, I am. I am so ready to move on and just cover something different.
Joel McManus, thanks very much for your time this evening.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Have a good one.
It's Joel McManus. Joel covers Wellington for the spin-off website.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.